sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I'm glad that He would bring me out, show me the way. For a long time I traveled down a long, long
say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Heard you had a tremendous time here last night. Well, just God's grace to us, and we're so thankful that He's let us be in the house of the Lord here on this wonderful Sunday morning. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church this morning. Amen. Play a little bit more of that, brethren, if you will. Sounds wonderful. Sounds good. Sounds good, honey. Bobby.
That has taken its flight, like the blind man with God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad faith in His name.
Thank God I am free,
free,
free
from this world of sin,
from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, we've been born again.
Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. Could bring me out and show me the way.
Hallelujah! I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace.
By His wonderful grace.
Oh, I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out.
Show me. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way.
Hallelujah.
Oh, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, let's look at these prayer requests. Sister Tasha Wheaton from Newfoundland, Canada, said, I would like for you to please pray for my husband. He has two bulging discs and a herniated disc in his back, which has caused him a lot of pain. Also, please pray for my six-month-old baby who has a rash on her face, and it is getting worse. Thank you for your prayer. So we just commit that unto the Lord this morning. Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends this in. A friend of their family has ovarian cancer, has a husband with children. She's only in her 30s. Also, my sister and my daughter-in-law ask for prayer and praying for their salvation. Thank you very much. So we just commit that unto the Lord this morning. I want to pray for Sister Sarah Yontz, who is sick, unable to be in the service today. And we certainly want to pray for the family of Sister Faith Smith. She passed away last night around 10:15 p.m. That's Brother Pinky and Brother Jerry's sister. So we certainly want to pray that God would just comfort that whole family during this time. And, well, we believe our sisters went on to a great reward in heaven. And we just commit that family and all these things unto the Lord. Brother Carol Lamphere wants us to remember his wife in prayer. Also, I believe they've got a church group maybe over in Indiana. And they're asking that we would remember them in prayer as they're seemingly having a lot of struggles, different things. But we know that the Lord will supply the need according to his own desire and his own will. We just commit it unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who's having extreme pain in her right arm. Brother Baker sends that in. Brother Jamie Hayton sends this in to please pray for a man by the name of Jason Firestone. He is in his early 20s and has fluid around his heart. The doctors are not sure what to do. He is in desperate need of prayer, so we certainly commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Linda Church, who is Sister Gerald's baby sister, who's been sick for about 3 weeks. When her family took her to the doctor, they discovered that she had ovarian cancer, which has spread throughout her body, and they have given her no hope. Please pray for her family, who are also devastated by this news. So let's remember that request as we pray today. Brenda Jones sends this in to please pray for my 9-year-old grandson. We'll just commit that unto the Lord this morning. I want to pray for protection from the winter storm forecast, the high winds, and possibly power outages. So we know that all nature is upset, all nature is struggling, and we just, well, we're here. We just committed all into the hands of Jehovah. We know that we're in a safety zone as long as we're in Him. Is that right? You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite His presence into this service today. I believe we're going to have a wonderful time here today, don't you? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Daniel, God bless you as you lead us to the Lord this morning. Appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Brother Darrell preaching on battle scars last night. I remember a story about a king one time that had a diamond, and somehow it got marred. There was a place in it, and he called all the diamond people in the world that cut stone to try to figure out how he could get that place out of that diamond without losing the value of it. And they said it couldn't be done. And finally, there was one diamond smith that says, I can do it. So the king let the man take the diamond. And what he did, he used the marred place as a stem, and he cut out a real pretty flower in the diamond and give it back to the man. You know, many of us got battle scars. Many of us got things in our life. But in the hands of the Master, He can make something good out of it. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we come before Your throne, knowing that no one can take care of us like You can. No one can love us like You do, Lord Jesus. And God, we just appreciate You so much. Thank You for the service last night. And God, we just thank You for the service that we know we're going to have today. Heavenly Father, we now bring our petitions, our requests before Your throne, knowing, God, that You know each knee here today, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray even now that you're moved by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you're moved on these knees as I hold them up before your throne. And God, we pray for the one that lost a loved one, Sister Faith's family. God, that you'll be with them, Lord, that you'll fill that vacancy around their home. Heavenly Father, we commit this service fully unto your hands. May your Holy Spirit take complete charge. And God, there be anything in this service today, God, anyone that will hinder this service, we pray, God, that you'll take that hindrance away in the name of Jesus. And we appreciate you and we love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us, we certainly want to welcome you to this service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service today, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world that are streaming these services. Someone on the internet had requested, they said this song really blessed their little group. They're just a small group of people, and this song really blessed them. They love to hear us. They said, we love to hear your church sing Rising Up. So let's sing it for that group of people this morning, believing that we are part of a New Testament church that God is doing some great things in. Do you believe that with all your heart? If you want to see something great, go home and look in the mirror where he has brought you from. Not that you're great in yourself, but where he brought you from, the sin that he dug you out of, the pit that he raised you up out of. You are something great this morning. Give Jesus one more big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Play a little bit of it, brethren. Play. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say glory. Play it, boys. Play the song.
The land. I see God's mighty hand, a bride of Christ adorned in a wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold, they turned that old world upside down. Plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out. In the jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band. Well, if you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done. Some good news to bring to you. In these last days he'll pour of his spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength here in you.
We're rising up.
Rising up.
There's a New Testament church rising up.
Testament church rising up. She's rising up.
She's rising up.
Rising up.
We're part of it too.
There's a New Testament church rising up.
Hallelujah.
There's a New Testament fully restored Malachi 4 church. And she's rising up.
Cared for me like Jesus. Hallelujah. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. You believe that this morning? Why don't you shake somebody's hand and say, that's the truth. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Sing that line.
No one else could take the sin
and darkness
from me. Think of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Since I found Him a friend so strong and true.
Oh, that's the truth, church.
I'd love to tell you how He changed my life.
He changed
completely. Something that no other friend could ever do.
Now sing that chorus again.
Yes, no one ever cared for me
like Jesus.
There's no other friend so kind.
No one else could take my sin.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're singing so good this morning. God bless you as you're seated today. Certainly appreciate your participation in the song service today. Have a couple of songs this morning. Brother Andrew's here. He has us a song. If he'll come and give us that song at this time.
When I saw what lay before me, Lord, I cried, what will you do? I thought he would just remove it, but he gently through. With a fire there's no refining, with a pain no relief, with a flood there's no rescue, without testing, no belief. Through the fire, through the flood, through the struggle, haunted my past. Bound up in the shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
For that. Not who I used to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. I'd like to read verses 11 through verses 15. I'm sure that many of you probably heard that there was quite a powerful storm, I guess, heading up toward Delaware, Maryland, New York, lots of those places. And Brother Robert Marrero from New York had contacted me earlier this morning, certainly requesting prayer that the Lord would be mindful of them. New York has shut down all the transit system, the buses, subways, and all that sort of thing. So it sounds like it might be a terrible, terrible thing that will be heading for those people. So we certainly want to remember them today in prayer. Brother Robert wanted me to tell you that he misses you all so much. We certainly appreciate our brother. Let's read together. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God, knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, listen to this now, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, bring it to your attention again. Paul did not say that the natural man cannot receive things of the Word of God, but he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Many, many theologians are nothing but natural men. Many people that go to church are just natural people. That's all they are. And they receive many things from the Word of God. But this is only for those who are Spirit-filled, of course. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual... Now, I wonder if I would ask you this morning, how many of you could define for me the biblical definition of being spiritual? I wonder how many of you could give it to me as far as really what's spiritual. Now, not your opinion, but really what the Bible says is a spiritual person. You might be surprised. You might be surprised at the real meaning of it. Actually, it means to be governed by the Spirit of God. But we would tend to think someone is spiritual, someone who shouts a lot, or is really extremely emotional, or the Lord told me this, or the Lord told me that, and I'm thinking, you know what? It's no wonder he don't tell me much, because he's spending all his time talking with them. But that's not the identification of a spiritual person. A spiritual person is one who is governed by God, which means their temper, their anger, lust, all those things, God is there to help govern that. They may not be one that a lot of people would even identify as being spiritual, but they're under control, divine control. They may have a furnace inside of them that, boy, like a temper, but they're so controlled by God, hardly nobody ever even knows it's there. That's a spiritual person. They may not be the ones that grabs hold of the chandeliers and swings around like a monkey. They may not be the ones that hollers the loudest. But you know what? They're governed by the Spirit of God. I wonder, do we know what spiritual is, friends?
Very good.
Until we look at most of your face that this is not what you thought. But notice this. He that is spiritual judges all things. So a man or woman, boy or girl, that is governed by the Spirit of God, they judge all things. Now, they're not going, you're a devil, you're a serpent, you're a bride. No, no, they're judging things around them. They're judging conversations. They're judging where they go, what they do, how they behave. Now, notice why. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, don't let me stumble you just right off the get-go, but actually this discernment is more important in your life than every discernment that you'll ever hear on Brother Bam's tapes. Because all those discernments, as wonderful as they were, but really don't have anything to do with you and I and the way we live now. It's wonderful to hear him call people out and tell them their name and how many steps goes up to their porch. It's overwhelming. But that don't make you spiritual or me. We rejoice in that. A lot of the folks in the message, you take that away from them, I'm not sure what they would do. But the spiritual discernment that a real Christian has, this is one sign that you are truly a child of God.
Amen.
Man, I laugh.
Here we go.
Let's pray together. Let's ask God's blessings on the Word. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, for your great Word. I so marvel, Lord, when I read it and then all of a sudden you just like click a light on and it just opens up to us. We know that's when it transforms from logos to rhema, where it's actually made present tense to where we are. How we thank you for the historical events that have been written down in the pages of the Bible. How we thank you, Father, for the countless of miracles and things that you've done down through the ages, thousands of years. We thank you for the tapes that you've been able to allow to be preserved for us. We're the only people in every church age that's able to actually hear the voice of their messenger after he was gone from the earth. The people in Paul's day, once Paul was gone, none of the second generation people ever heard that voice. Luther, Wesley, on down and on down. But you decided and desired that we would be able to hear the prophet messenger's voice many, many years, even after he left the earth. And we're thankful for that, Lord Jesus. But then, God, we ask today that you would help us, that we, Lord, would want and desire to live in a world of reality, when your presence is just as real with us today as it was then. Speak to us today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So enjoyed the service last night, didn't you? Amen. Appreciate the ministering of the word from Brother Darrell and also the communion service. And certainly enjoyed it with all of our hearts. I'd like to speak to you today on spiritually discerned. Discernment scares a lot of folks because they're afraid that you're going to try to call somebody out and tell them what their name is or something like that. But we know that there's only one of those actually given to a generation. But yet spiritual discernment actually belongs to every Holy Ghost filled child of God. It doesn't mean that you'll go out and, oh, you know, I feel something. That's close to a witch to me. That's a medium or somebody like that. But really, discernment is something that leads our lives, something that guides us, something that keeps us from trouble. I believe that if we would be more sensitive to the discerner that lives in our hearts, it would save us a lot of difficulty that we go through unnecessarily. And simply because we try to use our own reasoning or our own understanding and we try to live a Christian life from the psychological effect instead of the pneumatic effect, which is the spirit-given life. And we tend to lean more toward the intelligence or the mind or the spirit realm, as we looked at it last week, by which we think of things and we look at things and we psychologically deduct those things and we put them together and we'll put a row over here and a row over there and a row over here, and then we try to psychologically look at that and think, well, what would be the best and how should I do this and that? And you realize if Abraham would have done that, he'd have never believed God. Isaac, Jacob, all the rest of them, they'd never believed God. If they would have put everything, all the pros and the cons on the psychological list, they would have never believed God the way they did. So faith many times will call us beyond the sense of our own reasoning, of our own intellect. And yet there is a realm by which God, of course, uses the psyche, the intellectual part. And we know that God designed the human being thus so it would have that. As long as we're mortal, we need it. And even in our spirit is the realm of contact by which the Spirit of God in Brother Branham discerning people's lives. And I realize that many people today are trying to change the gift that Brother Branham had and saying that it was not actually a prophetic gift of discernment, but it was simply a word of knowledge. That way they take away the prophetic office from Brother Branham and say, really, Brother Branham wasn't a prophet. He was just displaying the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. But I would like to find the definition of that word of knowledge or that word of wisdom in the scripture in the way they identify. You'll not find the New Testament word of knowledge or word of wisdom being identified as a prophetic gift. You find it from the Old Testament down through the New. A prophetic gift was totally different than a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge or a word of wisdom is exactly what it says. It is a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. It is not a vision by which you see your life as a child, 20 years old, 30 years old. That is not a word of knowledge. That is anti-scriptural. It takes a prophet of God to be able to break into that realm. That is not a gift of knowledge. It is not a gift of wisdom. It is a prophetic gift.
Now, in that, none of us here will ever have that. I myself don't even want that. That's given to a prophet in a generation, one in a generation. Now, do we have discernment? Truly, I believe every Holy Ghost-filled child of God does. And God deals with me in discernment. He should deal with you in discernment. But yet, I'm not supposed to stand up here and say, somebody here today's got a back trouble. Oh, Lord, they would be all kinds of people, I'm sure. Somebody's got a burden. I feel a pain. Well, is that mine or yours? Could be either or. Somebody here today's got all kinds of, there's somebody out in the Southwest. I get sick of my stomach whenever you see all that stuff. And it's absolutely impersonation is all that it is. But yet the discernment that we really need in our life is not that, brother, I feel something. I feel like you're fixing to go through something. I ain't got time for all that trash. The discernment I need is something to help me to live a better Christian life. That will endow me with the ability to discern, to examine, to investigate, to look at right and wrong, and to be able to look at something from an inside life that Satan is laying a snare for me or trap. And you know that a snare or a trap must be laid. If you're going to lay it for an animal, if you're going to lay it for whatever that it is, a rabbit or a coon or some type of African animal, you want to lay that snare or that trap in such a way you want to pick a setting by which that animal is very comfortable in. A snare many times is a string or a wire or a rope, and much illegal in the United States in many places, but yet overseas still legal. So they will go in and they will put a snare in a certain spot where this animal is familiar with, under a feeding tree or an area by which the animal will feed, and then they do not put a sign up, "This is a snare. I am looking for an anteater. This is a snare." And red lights are everywhere. Beep, 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 beep. This is a snare. That's not the way the devil lays them for you either. But they'll put a wire in there or a strong rope, and they will put it in and cover it over with leaves, and they want to put everything around where there looks like no human has been there, where there's no natural disturbance to the foliage or to the botany life that's around it, and that animal will come in just unsuspicious, totally unbeknowing of what's going on, and all of a sudden he steps in there and he's caught in the snare. And you know, the same way with us as mortals, that the devil wants to lay snares in front of us. And he wants to camouflage it with natural things of life or things that we're accustomed with or comfortable with. He'll never put up a flashing light. He'll never put up something to alarm you. He'll never put up something to scare you away from that snare. But he'll always hide it in a natural, comfortable surrounding that you feel very comfortable with. Then you move in. You're moving closer and closer to whatever. Whatever it is, and the next thing you know, you're hung upside down with your leg. And there you're hung. Now what is that? That is a snare. But what if we had the ability by the Spirit of God that something was given to us and we would look at our natural eye and seem like nothing is moved. Nothing is out of place. Every leaf is exactly right in our life. Everything, our life is in such harmony, it's never been better. But all of a sudden we feel from within us a warning. A buzzer, a red light, whatever you want to call it, and you just feel something. Have you ever been there? Well, you just feel something is just not right. Now you think, what is that? Well, it's not your spirit per se, because your spirit has imagination, love, conscience, memory, reason. So there's no reason for it to tap into any of those aspects to give you a warning. It's not your body, because see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You're looking around and you respond, I don't see anything. I don't see anything any different. But it would be something by which you would be classified in God's eyes as being spiritual or governed by the Spirit. And all of a sudden everything seems normal, it seems natural, and something from within you, a buzzer goes off, and you feel this strange, peculiar warning, and you begin to step back. Then what do you do? Naturally, from the soul, then the Spirit becomes alarmed, and then the Spirit will become on high alert. And what does it do? Then it sends out the frequency or the message to the body, to the flesh, and then the eyes go to looking around, and the ears become more acute and more sensitive. And you're listening and you're watching. And why? Because from the inside to the inside to the outside, you have now been warned and you have been given something by the Spirit of God that helps you to discern there's something about this situation that just ain't right. Now, I'm convinced, friends, that many of the things that you and I go through, the Spirit of God is there, and He's always so close, and He's always so sensitive to warn us. And I can recall many, many things in my life when I've made mistakes or got in trouble, and it's when I simply overrode that little feeling, if you want to call it that way, or that little still, small voice. How many can relate to what I'm saying? That little something that you just overrode it, and yet you went on anyway. Now, it was something, it was a snare laid before you, maybe it was a boy you was going with, or a girl, or whatever more, and you felt a funny feeling. Even before you committed to become engaged or married to that individual, you felt really, really strange. And then when you do, and your marriage winds up in shambles, then you want to blame God. Don't blame my daddy for stuff you don't listen to yourself. I do not believe God will lead a daughter or a son into a horrible, terrible marriage and not warn them. He'll warn them from the pulpit. He'll warn them as they listen to a tape. He'll warn them in that little still small voice in their heart. But many girls and boys as well, they want to leave home. They want to get out on their own, and they override that. Don't get quiet on me already. They override that something instead of following the Spirit of God. So don't blame God for your mess up. But the natural man does not have this ability. Now, I'm not saying that, of course, natural unconverted people are not accessible to the spirit realm, because they are. Because they have a pneumatic or a pneumas area of their life, which is the spirit realm. But yet, they are not governed by that realm. There is a great difference in being a spiritual being and being governed from the soul by the Spirit of God. Every human being has a spirit. So, therefore, they are able to be able to be contacted by angels, by the Spirit of God, or by demons, or by Satan. That makes us immortal, of course. But that does not mean that they are governed from their soul. Now, every sinner is not demon-possessed. Listen to me carefully. Every sinner is not demon-possessed. They are unconverted. They're not born again. But it doesn't mean that every sinner has a devil that inhabits their soul and governs their soul. Now, they're unconverted, so that makes them Satan's property. But there are some people who are actually demon-possessed, but not every sinner is. There are some Christians that are not Holy Ghost-possessed. They are Christians, and they love the Lord, and they have been saved, but they're not possessed and governed by the Holy Ghost. You understand? Now, are they Christians? They are, because they have accepted, as far as they know, all the things that they know, many of them have accepted, and they have applied. Are they saved? Are they Christians? Yes, I would say they are. Are they Holy Ghost filled? Are they truly born again? No, not unless they are governed from the soul by the Holy Ghost. Now, will they be more prone then to making more natural mistakes because they follow the pneumas of their realm? Sure they will. But the Holy Ghost feel that once they are governed by that, and they learn they are governed by it, and they learn that that Holy Ghost does not want them to spend most of their life repenting for wrongdoing. Maybe I look at it altogether wrong. But to me, it's a greater victory if the Lord can avoid me of going into that snare than it is for me to walk into that snare. And while I'm hanging upside down by my leg, I say, Lord, I'm sorry I'm hanging upside down by my leg. Will you forgive me? And would you send the preacher to cut me down out of this tree? Now, maybe you think that brings honor and glory to God, but to me, I would rather be able to walk around that snare and get on the other side and make fun of the devil. That's what I'd rather do. I mean, I've been upside down enough, hanging by my leg. You understand what I'm talking about? I've been caught in many snares, but to me, I'd rather walk around them snares than be caught in them snares. Now, there's only one way that we can do that, and that is to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to notice that Paul in verse 14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the word natural goes into the spiritual part as well. But watch how he says that it's sukeos, which is sensual or belonging to breasts. Now, this is the natural man that belongs to breath, the principle of animal life, which men have in common with brutes. No wonder Brother Ben said you take the Holy Ghost off of a man, he's lower than an animal. In common born with brutes, the sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion, the animal man. Now, the word natural also denotes, of course, the opposite of spiritual. Notice how he says this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So the natural man is opposite to the spiritual man. So the natural man is something that we're all born into, the sensual natural nature that we're born into by the first birth. And we do not have the ability to understand the things of the Spirit of God. Yet God breaks the gospel down in such a simple way that the natural unconverted man can at least understand the introduction into the gospel. Now, the gospel is like the doorway, that we're outside the doorway of God. We're outside the doorway of eternal life, and yet there's no way for us to understand it. It's mysterious. It holds many things on the inside. But yet God will introduce the gospel as if it were these two doors right here, that God would let the gospel be preached in a sinner sitting there that does not have the ability to understand the deep things of God, because you got to be part of family to do that. But yet God would have the gospel introduced in simplicity in such a way that a sinner, a person that cannot understand great things, they would be able to hear it and peer into the door and say, oh my, I need to change my life. I need to be a better person. I need to be, well, what? This gospel now, it's not about the great introduction of the great deep things of God. It's helping them see there is a better way. It's helping them see that they need to change their life. But they're still not capable of understanding the things of God yet. Now, many come through that door and they enter into the door through the knowledge of the gospel, and they accept the gospel. They go on, many of them, to accept the message of the hour. And then they want to, go on and on and on with God. And yet they never go any farther into the spirit realm to where the Holy Ghost governs them. That every day of their life, I don't know about you, I don't want to just be on Sunday morning. I don't want to have a Sunday Holy Ghost. I want to have a Monday Holy Ghost and a Tuesday Holy Ghost. Man, I need the Holy Ghost every hour of the day. I want him to help me avoid situations and help me to lead me and guide me so that I can actually be governed, that I can be a spiritually discerned Christian, that I can walk every day of my life. And whenever I'm just walking through Lowe's or whatever more, and I feel a peculiar feeling, and I think, Lord, what is it? I want to be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that he would warn me of something before me, of something behind me, of whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Actually, I want to be a mystic. I'll let you wonder what that means. Now watch, then it denotes those that are governed and influenced by the Spirit of God. So the natural man cannot be. Now can the natural man be anointed? He can. Can the natural man feel the Spirit of God? I wonder how many thousands of people have come through this church since it's been built. Years and years ago when it was over on Roan Hill and came here, wherever y'all's foundation was. I wonder how many people have come on this hillside that have sat here and heard the gospel. Some of them cried. Some of them sit on the back there. Mother grabbed a hold of the back of the bench and the Spirit of God was moving on them and they wouldn't give. How many people have sat here? Thousands of them have come through these doors. There's been literally hundreds that have come through these doors since I've been here as a pastor. How many of them have felt the Spirit of God, sensed the Spirit of God, and knew there was something about it, yet they never submitted to it? Can the natural man sense that? He can, but he cannot comprehend and understand the deep heart secrets of God. To him, it doesn't make sense. He looks at it and says, I don't understand. Why do you have to do that? Or why can't you do this? How come you have to address that? What is it? It's the natural man trying to understand the heart of God. And Paul says, one man can know another man unless it's the Spirit in that man. So he says the Holy Ghost is the same way. Amen. Now notice, he says, notice in this, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absolute foolishness to the natural man. He cannot comprehend them. He does not understand them. He has no ability to comprehend. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now notice, discernment. So the natural man cannot discern. But the natural man will try to reason and figure out and read and compare this to this and this to this. So if he's searching, say, the message, he'll go to this website and that one and that one and that one. And when he gets all done, he mixes it all up together and he's more confused than he was before. Why? Because it is the natural man. That's why folks can't discern where we are. Folks don't know what's right and wrong no more. Come on, children. Folks don't know what church they should go to. They're not even sure if they should go to church. Why? Because they don't have spiritual discernment. They do not have the ability. And they're trying to discern by listening to tapes. Or trying to discern by going to church. You can only discern when the discerner lives in you. Now watch this. Paul says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now look at this word. It's used several times in spirit and spiritual and spiritually, but it comes from the same Greek word. And here it's pneumaticos, which is spiritual by the aid of the Holy Ghost. Now there are certain things that the written word, the Logos, declares for us to do and not do. And there's other things it does not say. There are things that the tapes were able to go and say, well, what did Brother Bam say about this and this and this and this? But there are certain things God did not have him to say. Face it. Every aspect of your life is not on the tapes. Every aspect of your life is not necessarily written in this Bible. There's going to be things you're going to face, things you're going to go through, things that you're going to face in life that you're not going to be able to find a quote nor a scripture. Hold on. The Spirit-led don't even need it. You don't have to have a quote and a scripture for everything you do. Because the pneumaticos of God will lead you if you will allow Him. Now God gives us a principle understanding and lays it out in the Logos. Why do you say, why would He do that? He wanted to do it that way. He wanted this walk to be intimate. He wanted it to be personal. He didn't want it to be cold and formal. He could have handed you a book of your life. And tomorrow you're going to the dentist and do this. And the next day do that. And the next day you could have just said, okay, this week what am I supposed to do? All right, there's going to be a trap. And I'll memorize this. And that way I'll do this. And you would be a robot. You'd be like software that'd be programmed in you. And then you'd, oh God, I love you. Oh God, I love you. I'm going to church. I'm going to read the Bible. Now God don't want you to be a robot. He don't want to marry a robot. He wants to marry a person. He could have handed you your entire life and said, watch this and that. But instead He gave you that which was necessary and essential in the form of Logos. Then out of that He would quicken. It would become Rhema. Other things you couldn't find it, not even written at all. Because He reserved that. Especially for those intimate times between you and Him. I'm going to tell you business brothers something. I ain't no businessman, okay? But I believe you business brothers could have avoided a lot of your pitfalls in your business if you'd be led by the Spirit of God instead of led by the market. Because remember, who controls all this money and all these markets out here? He does. He'll get you spending and making all kinds of things. And then when He gets you out, oh my, what's He do? He drops the bottom in there. You're hung. You know why many of your brothers got there? Because you was not led of the Spirit of God. You was led by greed. Oh, Jesus. Ooh. There ain't no way the Spirit of God would have led some of you all into the financial mess you're in if you'd have waited on Him. Come on now, church. Don't get quiet. I'm trying my best to help you today. But we might, oh, but I'm a businessman. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Remember, friend, all this out here is owned by the devil. He's the one who motivates this and that and the other. All politics, all government, all the money, the whole thing is controlled by Him. And we've got to live in this world for sure. But the Holy Ghost can maneuver you around a trap of the devil business, brothers. If you'll pray and say, Lord, help me to make business decisions that are best for my company and best for you and best for my family and for the kingdom of God. The problem is we become so confident in our own abilities. I don't need to pray about trading cars. I don't need to pray about this and that and the other. You better. He'll help you. I got my years and years ago. I never could afford a new car. But years ago, I got to a place where payments was all pretty good and I was able to buy one. So I went out. I just picked out what I wanted. I thought, man, I'll just buy whatever I want. Living down in Kentucky at the time. I didn't pray about it. This is the way a lot of y'all live your life anyway, so you can relate to that perfectly. The Lord was fixing to teach me quite a lesson. Now, I knew you could get lemons in used cars, because I'd sucked a lot of lemonade out of them. But I didn't quite realize you could get a lemon in a brand new one. So I bought this pretty van for us to travel in, you know, traveling to back in Pentecost and going up and down the road. And man, it was so pretty and it was sharp and it was nice and it was comfortable and it was a lemon. Now I'm telling you what, we didn't have it but a week, and this went wrong and that went wrong and another went wrong and something else went wrong. And I'll tell you one thing, every time I made a trip to Somerset to have it repaired, I was repenting the whole way up and the whole way back. Because the Lord was teaching this little boy, I better pray about trading cars. Amen. Now I know some of you sat there and you say, he is so simple. I am, but I'm spirit led. Amen. So which would you rather be? It's up to you. You make your choice. But you see, the Spirit of God, if I would have been sensitive and prayed, there was other vans sitting on that lot, but I had my mind made up. I wanted that pretty burgundy one with all them stripes on it. And the Lord said, go ahead, stripes for stripes. I guarantee you one thing, I've never got another vehicle after that one without praying about it. I don't care if it's a Cadillac, if it's a Mercedes or a BMW, whatever you're going to get, you better say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. I need your help. Some of y'all looking at me awful strange. And then you wonder why you're not closer to God. Because we keep him out of so many avenues of our life. Some of you sisters don't think you need him to help you in your house jobs. You do, sisters. You need him to help you to be the right kind of mother and the right kind of wife and the right kind of cook and all of that. But the natural man says, I know how to serve God. I know how to be a wife. I know how to be. And remember, every one of those avenues that you exclude him. I don't need him how to help me cook. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to. Another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. So what is it really left that you can't do? You can't change your body, or some of you working on that? Is that something you need him for? Boy, y'all was shouting last night, pounding today. Oh, it's the difference in an evangelist and a pastor, ain't there? Now watch, Paul says a natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolish. You see why some of y'all are thinking like what I'm talking about today? Because you think I'm foolish. You think the things I'm saying are foolish. Now you know what part of you that is? The natural, sensual, animal, breath life. Now, many of y'all know I do woodwork and stuff and just piddle really, build this and that and the other. But there's times I cannot figure out how to make something work. And I don't get online to a how-to list, woodworking for dummies. I don't go here and go there and try to figure out. I think, God, please help me. Help me to figure this out. You say you ask him about stuff like that? Who do you think made this world? He knows all about mathematics. He knows all about equations and measurements. Brother Dale, you ever do that? You brothers ever do that when you're trying to figure out a plan when you can't figure out how you say, Lord, please help me. Help me to figure this out. Yes, that's crazy. It's not crazy. He wants to be there every avenue of our life if we'll ask him. I'll come from downstairs and go upstairs and tell Carol. I figured it out. She said, did you? I said, yeah. I said, I asked the Lord and he helped me. Now, I wouldn't tell some of y'all because y'all got that smirk on your face. I believe it's just that simple. Brother Jim, when you're in there and you're trying to figure out things in the library and you can't do it, oh, should I call Brother Donnie? Don't call me. I ain't no office expert. Amen. Call on Jesus. Your sister's trying to figure out, oh God, how do I do this in the home? How do I create this atmosphere? Lord, help me to do it. How do I do it, Lord? Let me get a Better Homes and Garden magazine. No, they won't tell you. It's wrote by foolish people, read by a lot of foolish people, put together by foolish people, put together, amen, by people that don't even believe in God. Here's the book that makes better homes, friends. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I love this word, discerned. Examine, judge, to investigate. Examine, inquire into, scrutinize, sift, question, determine the excellence or defects of any person or thing. So you're looking at broadening your business or a business adventure. Now naturally you may talk to a banker, you may talk to, you know, different financial people. And they may say, man, it's a good time. I'd do this and that and the other. But yet you're Holy Ghost filled. And you pray about it and you pray about it and say, I better not do it. Something ain't right. And people say, man, you better go. You better, man, you can make a killing. You like gray stripes or red? But something within you scrutinizes. It's investigating with them, you know. Oh, it's got this glass in its hand. It's something ain't right. It's examining. It's scrutinizing. It's really looking and say, like, what is the matter with me? Oh, everything seems like I should do that sensibly. You know, everything seems like. But some said, don't you do it. And then you back away and a year goes by or 6 months goes by and you look at that very thing you would have done and it would have absolutely destroyed you had you done it. What was it? Not your banker, not your financial consultants, but the discerner on the inside. I know some of you struggle financially. You say, I wish I had more money. I wish I could do this, that, and other. Let me tell you something. I've accepted the fact a long time ago. There's some folks that God can trust with money and others He can't. And if God can't trust me with a lot of money, I'd rather be poor every day of my life. Amen. That have all kinds of money and it hinder me a lot. That don't mean I'm less of a Christian than the man can handle money. Some folks can't handle money. Some folks can't handle lots of other things. But I want God to give to me. Do you? I want God to give to me and entrust me with what He knows I'm capable of doing. I don't want my Father to grant me something that I would foolishly ask if it would annihilate me or destroy me. So the natural man does not have this ability to spiritually discern. So he looks at others around him. This guy's prospering. This, all this. What's the problem with me? God don't love me. God don't. We need discernment. Some folks is going to struggle in money. Some's going to struggle in their health. Some's going to struggle in their mind. And Satan will always take that person that he knows you're having a battle with this certain thing and show you them. Look at them. Look how good they're doing. They're going through this and that and the other. But let me tell you something, friend. It's going to come to the ultimate true thing of a son of God is that he's judged by no man, including this man. None of you know my heart. None of you. You think you do. No, we don't. Only me. Only me. I know what's in my heart. I've been so misjudged and you have too, right? But yet, listen to this. Neither does this know my heart. And this can be anointed by the devil. And this will tell me I'm not a Christian. This will tell me I'm not going. This will tell me, what am I doing if I listen to that? I am listening to the natural man which cannot discern and know the spiritual things of God. And this natural man will talk me into trouble and talk me into making mistakes. And then this natural man will tell me that proves you're not a child of God. That proves you're not predestinated. But if I can ever get to the spot and you can get there with me, then I will refuse to be judged by any person in this message. I'll refuse to be judged by any of you in this message. I will refuse to be judged even by my own flesh. For my flesh cannot know what's inside of my soul. How can it speak my destiny when it does not know what I am? Hallelujah! How can my flesh speak of where I'm going when it does not know me? Thank you, Jesus. I take this body to church everywhere my soul goes. It's kind of love-hate relationship. I need a right foot to press the gas pedal to get to church. I need a right hand to turn the key on. Right hand to pull the gear shift and drive. I need a left hand to also accompany it so this body goes with me to church. And yet my body and my spirit and my soul are all three here today. But there's only one realm that'll really receive from the real supernatural realm of God. My flesh has heard more preaching than most of you put together. Right. When I was in Pentecost, I used to preach 20 and 25 days in a row. Close out in Louisiana one night, be in Indiana the next. Fasting 7, 10, 12, 14 days at a time. Right, Ben Chuck? Right here? My flesh has heard a lot of preaching. It don't like it a bit more today than it did when I first got saved. My old body has been in more meetings than you can imagine. He still gets tired of going to church. Boy, the Holy Ghost moves on me and the Spirit of God goes to anoint me. My soul is rejoicing like a little kid. This 56-year-old man said, Brother Jimmy told me a few weeks ago, he said, boy, you can't take it like you could. I said, no, I sure can't. Why, this old flesh gets wore out. He is a natural man. So today, the soul that's in me, the very being of God, will hear things and catch things that this outer man will absolutely know nothing about. And yet it will come through this outer man's ears. Now watch this. He says the natural man receiveth not. Receiveth not. He does not embrace, cannot comprehend, cannot understand the beauty of their wisdom, cannot comprehend the depth of the mystery, does not even understand the form, the necessity of such things, the requirement. Why do it? Why? The natural man does not have the ability. He's born without it. But the man or woman who's born of the Holy Ghost, they are born with it from within their soul. So the natural man will argue, how come we have to do this and how come we can't go there? How come we got to do this and how come? And those that are born again, they're saying, well, I don't understand it either. But if that's what the Word says, I want to do it. I don't understand why. I don't understand how come, but I just want to do it. Now the natural man will argue. He'll debate. Because he considers the spiritual things of God foolishness. It's just foolish. It's foolish to go to church. It's foolish to hear a preacher. Why would you want to hear a preacher when you can sit home and listen to a tape? What difference does it make if a woman wears a dress or pants or cuts her hair? What difference does that make? God looks at the heart. He does. And he sees what the outside looks at. He knows what the heart is. Well, you say some old barns need a new coat of paint. I agree, barns, but that's sure ain't a very good comparison to your face, is it? What if I come up to some of you women here at the church who wear a little bit of pink and a little bit of black and a little bit of this and that and the other, and I call you barn? Do you think that's pretty notable? Hello, Sister Barn. Well, he said, my name ain't Barn, it's Bab, it's Reagan. It's well, no, I'm just saying that's what you look like, barn. Not barns, B-A-R-N-E-S, but barn, B-A-R-N, which is where you keep a stinking hog, stinking cow, stinking cart, stinking chickens, all kinds of stinking stuff. Woo! Jesus ain't coming for a barn, he's coming for a church. Woo! Well, that's a good one, Lord, thank you. Amen, he ain't coming for barns, he's coming for temples, tabernacles of the living God. But the natural man will reason and reason. Friends, don't look down on them. They can't help that. You try to witness young girls, you try to witness brothers and sisters, and you try to help people see it, and they'll argue and go back and argue. Don't go call them serpent seed. They're just natural, unconverted people. They don't have the ability to receive the things of God. They think it's foolish. Thank God you don't. Oh my. Notice, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. neither can he know them. Now we'll use this to close out with this last Sunday, but let's look at it again today. Neither can he know them, perceive, understand, to learn to know, come to know, get a knowledge of perceived, to become acquainted with, to know. To the Greeks, this meant to know facts. But these facts may or may not affect one's conduct. To the Jew, true knowledge always manifested itself in one's conduct. One did not know something until that fact, I love this, had a practical outworking in his life. Friends, I'm afraid many of our message people, this is exactly where they are. We've got two categories of people in this message, and they're both found in the meaning of this one word. People who can spit out all kinds of facts, it may or may not affect the way they live, look, believe, behave, and so on. But then there's others. Believing this word is more than a bunch of facts. It's changing their life. And it's not just the outside, because you can look the part on the outside and still be corrupting your soul. Oh, my. Think of how that Paul said, now they cannot know them. The unconverted man cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. So they are able to pick up. Now, how can the Holy Ghost look at a situation that looks perfectly normal, but the Holy Ghost looks with a sixth sense? And he looks at a situation. Maybe you're just being nice to some lady that you're working with, but the Holy Ghost senses this could lead to something. You're looking at it, all the leaves are fine. Oh, it's just, you know, it's just fine. We work at the same place, not no problem. But the Spirit of God says, huh? Be careful. Watch that. Amen. How many preachers have been led into situations, into snares in their own church simply because they did not have that ability, many of them. Or if they did have a little portion of that ability, they certainly didn't follow it. And yet they fell into a snare. How many churches have been bust to pieces? How many homes? How many families? Come on, children, don't get quiet. How many marriages have been bust to pieces because somebody did not follow this little unction right here of the Holy Ghost? And yet depended, well, mama said he was a nice boy. Uncle so-and-so said he was a nice boy. Let me tell you something, girls. When that boy goes to calling on you and go to texting you and whatever more, you can pretty well figure he's going to be on his best behavior. You don't want to marry him on that. What you want to look for is his normal behavior, which probably isn't the gallant Romeo. Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, your fingers. Oh, mama, my, your hair. Oh, you text so beautifully. Oh, I just watched the way you do in church. And oh, you better get past that, sis, and find out what he really is like. Come on now, don't get quiet. Most of you sisters can say amen to this. Most of those men never carry that over after you've been married very long anyway. Lord have mercy. What's the matter with you women? But you know what? The Holy Ghost inside of you, if you've got that Holy Ghost, will say, something wrong here. Even though your flesh may appeal to it, your spirit may appeal to it, your senses may appeal to it. You see, if Eve would have had the Holy Ghost, when the serpent come up that day in the Garden of Eden, and he started speaking the word, that buzzer would have went off inside her. Because you see, the trap was laid hidden deep within the serpent, which had a place for a soul, but didn't have one. Now you see, the soul was the hidden part. So when God made the serpent, which was an upright creature, not a snake, he made him to where that he could reason, he could think, apparently had a spirit that was very similar to a human being, and had a place for a soul, but didn't have a soul. It just so happened Satan had a soul. So Satan steps inside this serpent. Now this serpent becomes in the full image of a man. Soul, spirit, body. So from that, if she would have had the Holy Ghost discernment, as soon as he'd have walked up, the buzzer would have went off inside of her soul. But you know what? The snare was laid so perfectly because the body hadn't changed. He wasn't like a monster. He wasn't some kind of freaky looking thing. But the change was where? In the soul, Brother Dale. In the soul. My Lord, help us. In the soul. So he walked up, looked the same, talked the same. But the soul started projecting. Contacts her outside, contacts her spirit, and then Satan's soul connected her soul. She walked right into the snare, and you know the end results. Why? She didn't have the Holy Ghost to discern. How do daughters, our daughters, our sons, how do they get in such fixes? Because they think they've been raised in a message church. They think they got the Holy Ghost. And they believe the message. And they think they got the ability to discern. I'll tell you one thing, if there's anything anybody ought to pray over, it's a mate. A car, a place to live, a job, but a woman, woo! A man, woo! I done found out if you get a lemon vehicle, you can trade them off. But if you get a lemon man, or a lemon woman, you just walk around like this. How are you doing? Doing okay. How are you doing? I see you still got that lemon husband. They're not puckered up to kiss. They're puckered up just to live. Well, glory to God. What in the world am I doing on this way? The Lord, you know. The natural man will follow what? Senses. He'll follow sight. He'll follow feeling. He'll follow emotions. But the soul investigates. The soul looks. The soul scrutinizes. And then the soul will reverberate that message back into the recipient and say, stay away from him. Text him back and tell him you're not interested. But every girl in the church would want him. Are you sure? I don't care if every girl in the church wanted him. If the Holy Ghost didn't want him, I wouldn't want him. Right? Oh, but he's the cutest boy in the whole church. I didn't realize cute was the only thing we was going by. If that's so, pray tell me, how did most of you men even get married? Maybe you were cuter when you were younger, Brother Greg. I don't know. Well, you, Brother Trey, I'm just asking. I don't know. But you see, the real Spirit of God discerns. It looks beyond the pretty hair. It looks beyond the nice car. It goes down into the soul. And he looks. And he searches. He says, don't you do it. This man will cause you 40 years of hell on earth. Beep, 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 beep. A real daughter of God say, Lord, help me. Please, Lord, I feel emotionally attracted to this man. I feel whatever more. But God, please help me. Help me, God, to get... Brother Donnie, can a person fall in love with the wrong person? Sure they can. There's men in this church that could fall in love with somebody else's wife. That sure don't mean it's the Holy Ghost. Why? You're a human being. It's part of your spirit. Oh, I wore a perfect mate. Bunch of hogwash. Lust. Come on, children. Lust and passion is that animal part. Oh no, a perfect mate is not about sex. A perfect mate is not about lust. A perfect mate is joining together two souls by the word of God. That sure was a long time on verse 14. Let's look at verse 15 now. But he, I love this. That is spiritual. Judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. I'm convinced, friends, most of us, first of all, we don't know what this even means. We certainly don't even live by it. Do you understand that if you know who you are, what your position is, what other people say about you, if you come to that spot, it can have very little, if any, bearing on who you are. You're listening to what they say and criticize you. There's nothing that breaks a child of God's heart any more than for somebody to say, you're a hypocrite, you're not a very good Christian, you're this, that, the other. And we're letting them judge us. We're letting people, and you'll even let your own self judge you. It has no right. Amen. 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 The son of Don and Betty Reagan has no right to judge this seed within me. It has no right to tell me I'm going to hell. It has no right to tell me who I am and who I am not. Now watch. He, she, that are spiritual. Look at this word again, pneumaticos. Belonging to the divine spirit. The Holy Ghost. One who is filled with and governed by. Now this is the same word, remember, that your human spirit comes from. Pneumatic. So you have this part, and this is where the deceit lays. You're born with part of this root word in you. Your human spirit. But this must come by new birth. Pneumaticals does not come because you're a mortal. Pneumaticals comes because you're reborn and immortal. Then those who are spiritual. Now keep in mind now, I'm not talking about people that are, you know, that are off the deep end and this and that and the other. People that are all the time extremely emotional. And surely the spiritual people will be emotional. But many times we classify a spiritual church as one that has fast music, loud music, or fast songs or whatever more. And a spiritual person is one who jerks and shouts. And I'm against none of that. That's not the biblical term of spiritual. But he that is spiritual judgeth. Don't raise your hand now, but how many of you do this? Do you judge all things? All things you do, everywhere you go, everything you do, your motives, your objectives. Now we're quick to judge other people. That's the kind of judgment that gets you in trouble. This is the kind that keeps you out. If we could judge all things about our life the way we judge everybody else, man, we'd be a church, I'm telling you. But instead, we judge one another. We try, well, so and so, and you're trying to judge their heart. You don't know their heart. Friends, it's so easy for us to misjudge people. That's why we should commit the judgment to God, pray for people. Sure, we disagree with people. We disagree with their motives. But when it's all said and done, none of us knows the heart of another. Come on, you might as well say amen. But yet the thing we should judge, and God wants us to judge, we just let pass before us and we just go along. You know? But he that is spiritual, he judges. He won't go here. Why? The Spirit forbade him. You imagine a preacher turning down a big meeting. You imagine message preachers turning down a big meeting where there's going to be lots of folks there. I can't imagine very many of them doing it. Now, can you imagine them turning down a big meeting and taking a little meeting? Because they felt led of the Lord to go to the little place. I guarantee you what you'll find. You'll find God blessing that little meeting better than he would the big meeting. Now, most of us want the high seat. But real true Christians that are led by the Spirit of God, they judge. They judge. They don't need to be bragged on. They don't need to be told all the time they're the best in the church and they're the pillars of the church. Why? They know who they are. It's nice for us to all get compliments. It's nice to know that we're appreciated and part of it. But listen to me, friend. If your name is never called over this pulpit and we live to be 1,000 years old, if you know who you are, it ain't going to shake you one bit. Why? Because you're already discerning you are part of this church by predestination. You're not part of this church because I call your name away. Brother Bert, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, sister. That's not what makes you a part of the church. But you know your position. There ain't enough devils. There ain't enough gossip, there ain't enough church splits that's going to run you off because you are judged of no man.
You will not allow yourself,
amen,
to be brought down to where other people are. Do you understand why Satan does this? He will have people to judge us and say things about us that's not even true, knowing that it will destroy us. Bring us to such a place we're so down. Oh, so-and-so said this about, and so-and-so said that about me. And look what effect it's having on you. I feel sorry for so-and-so because they run their long tongue. But I feel sorry for you because you don't know who you are. And it's damaging you. Instead of you looking back there and saying, I can laugh at that. That ain't the truth. They don't know my heart. They don't know what's in me. I'm not doing that for glory. I'm not doing that for any other purpose other than to please God. Oh my. Brother Bram said him and Sister Media and Brother Levi was in his house one time. You can hear this in 1963. He said, she spoke up and said, Bill, we all know the Lord led you to Arizona the first time. He said, you come back and said, that's what's bothering me. That's what's troubling me. That God wants you to come back here. He said, well, it don't matter to me. I don't care. Wherever he leads me, I want to serve him. Yeah. And then Lee Vail said, I don't see how you can take that, Brother Branham. People saying things about you and calling you things. Right. I said, Brother Lee, I hope this don't bother you, but yeah. Brother Lee's always been a little quick on the trigger. Yeah. I love a man like that, don't you? Yeah. Not one that's quick on the trigger, but one that can tell you about it. So he said, Leavell said, I don't understand how you can take all that. And people saying this, that Brother Man said, that was a little trial that was ordained before the foundation of the world to see how I'd handle it. And he said, all of a sudden, while we're standing there in that room, a hand appeared and wrote on the wall, come on back to Arizona. Wonder if his attitude didn't have a lot to do with that hand appearing. Now, wonder if Brother Branham would have been quick on the triggers and drawed out his gun. Wonder if that hand would have felt welcome writing on the wall. I wonder if that's why we don't see more writing on the wall. It's because our attitudes, and we let people judge us. And we will let what they say affect us to such a place. Some folks won't even come to church no more. Because so-and-so said so-and-so. And might be two or three people. And yet they think them two or three people is this whole church. Come on, children, discern, judge properly. Oh my, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. That doesn't mean that people ain't going to judge him. Oh, no. It's not that. He will not accept their judgment. He will not allow himself to be judged by infidels and unbelievers and make-believers and weak Christians. Amen. Brother Branham was judged by many of the people as being a woman hater. Do you sisters hold that opinion? You don't. Why? Because you're spiritual. You look at it a totally different way. You don't look at Brother Branham trying to be mean to you, hateful to you, do you, sisters? Do you look at Brother Branham trying to be hard on you, sisters, and mean, and Brother Branham had an attitude to the women? Well, you look at Brother Branham as being a prophet of God, one that God used to keep sisters out of hell. Right? But you not get it by the natural man. It must be spiritually discerned. So when we hear him raking down on women and blasting them, you know what? If you hear it with a spiritual ear, you hear a total different thing. You do not hear the judgment. Oh, he was a woman hater like old Paul. He done this, that, or the other. You've got spiritual discernment. You don't hear a woman hater. You hear a man who loved God's children. You hear a man who loved God's daughters. Why? Spiritually discerned. Now let me find a place to close. Watch this. So the man that is spiritual examines, scrutinizes, judges all things. Verse 16. What a peculiar way to go into this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord?
that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Now notice the mind of Christ is not identified with deep things, and it'll have that. The mind of Christ is not identified with just emotion, and it'll have that. But the mind of Christ is identified with the ability to rightly discern and judge. Sonship. Do you understand? There's folks that will come to this church and sit here and think, I'm a devil. They'll come here and set service after service after service and think, I am one of the worst indebtedments to this message. And claim to have the Holy Ghost. And yet there's thousands around the world who feel the very opposite. And you know what? If I allow myself as a pastor, and I feel that coming, if I allow myself as a pastor, and I allow myself under that judgment, I'll go to striking out, and I'll take the entire services to preach on them. Blast them. Blast them. Hammer them. Why? Because I'm coming under their false judgment. Or I can raise myself above their judgment and refuse because I know who I am. I know what I am. I know where I'm from. So I can go that way and take the high road and go above what they project and preach to those of you who come to church to be fed. Or I can get under that judgment, under that condemnation and hammer and beat and thrash, and then you all starve to death because I've come under that judgment. It don't just work for me, it works for you. Oh, hallelujah. You can allow people here at this church to run you down and talk about you and control you and manipulate you if you want to. But I refuse to do so. I refuse to allow people to judge me and me walk under their condemnation, which is only fabricated. No, sir. Amen. Amen, amen. You understand, friends, there's folks in this message that pray, I will die. There's folks in this message that pray, I will have a heart attack. Because they think I'm such a curse. Poor things. Isn't that pitiful? If I get killed this afternoon going home in a car wreck, some of the message folks that never shouted in their life, they'll shout when they hear it. It's pitiful. It's pitiful that people would have such an attitude. People would rejoice if they heard something terrible happen to me. Not only me, but other preachers as well. And some people would do you exactly the same way. And yet claim to be Christians? And claim to have the spirit of agape inside of us? That's not agape. Agape does not look for judgment upon others. Agape does not look for that. And neither will agape allow yourself. Now we'll condemn it. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. We're only pointing our finger one way. We need to go back this way. Not only tell them, you shouldn't have said that, but you need to point your back this way. You shouldn't let it affect you either. You should not let them bring you down. You, come on now, don't get quiet. I wish some of the gossipers would put that on Facebook. So easy for us to put up in the social media. So-and-so done this and so-and-so did that and so-and-so. Why don't you write about yourself? So-and-so did it. And I was beneath them because I shouldn't have let it bother me. But I did. Uh-oh. Ooh. Y'all smell something? Now notice he comes to those that are spiritual. They judge all things. And then he breaks beyond man's mind into the mind of Christ. Amen. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the nous, understanding, the capacity for spiritual truths. The faculty of perceiving divine things, of recognizing goodness, and of hating evil. Amen. You see what I'm saying? As I said, folks in the message hate me or hate other people, but they hate what God loves, which is peculiar. I mean, I'm of the mindset this way. I want to love what God loves and hate what God hates. I don't want to hate what God loves and love what God hates, which is where you find many people. Why? Because the natural man cannot discern many times what God loves and what God hates. Now, God loves the world. God loves sinners, but he does not love their sin. But in this age, everybody wants to just bring them right on into the church and let them continue on living in their sin. That's not what God loves. God hates that. But when you tell what God loves, and you're hated because people don't understand. They don't have the ability. The furonson is the word. The furonson to be able to understand, the capacity to understand it. They're discerning it by their natural instinct. Let's stand. Oh my. But we have the mind of Christ. The power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially. You see, the mind of Christ will not take three people with exact circumstances and judge differently according to their social status or according to how much they're worth. The mind of Christ will take all three people, judge accordingly by the word, no matter how much tithes they pay, no matter how wealthy they are or how poor they are. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ will not make special, you know, terms and special groups in among the elect. All the group of the elect is special. But it does not have any special groups. You can get by with this, and you can get by with that, and you can get by with this, and you can get by with that. Hey, you better not say nothing about them. And all the rest of us, you know, we just got to toe the line. That's not the mind of Christ. That's natural, carnal people who don't understand the mind of Christ. Notice this. The power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially. Now, you can find this in your Strong's Concordance. This is the meaning of the word that Paul chose to use. So the mind of Christ is the views, feelings, and temperament of Christ. The views, the feelings, and the temperament of Christ. So how can we tell if we have the mind of Christ? By the way you judge. Can you judge right from wrong, or is everything gray? Is your judgment true? Is your judgment just? Is your judgment impartial? Because this is the way Christ would judge.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Whew, you love him?
Amen.
My. Spiritual discernment. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you today, Father, for your word. Lord, it makes me feel so bad because I know so many times I misjudge so many things. I misjudge people's motives, objectives. And I've allowed the judgment of others about me to affect me, Lord. I pray that you'd teach us, Lord Jesus. You were a man when you were upon the earth, and Brother Bram said whenever they laughed at you to scorn there in the New Testament, the scripture, they laughed you to scorn, that your face turned red and it embarrassed you. So you know how it is to feel embarrassment. But yet you never let them bring you down to their level. And many times when people would run us down and talk about us and do bad things against us, we focus so much on how wrong they are. And that is true. They should not do that. But why is it we don't focus on how wrong we were to let them affect us in such a way? And somebody can post something on Facebook about us or send us an email or a text or whatever. Ruin our whole day. Ruin our whole day with you, with our family, with everybody else. Because we allow ourselves to come underneath their judgment. And then we go to worrying and fretting and fretting.
And always, Lord, when people's going to leave church and when there's going to have, they're always going to look for an excuse. I have been many, many people's excuse. This church has been many. Many other people have been. And it breaks my heart to think of such. You know I would never try to keep anybody out of the kingdom of God. I've spent my life trying to bring them in. But yet, Satan knows how it bothers us. Forgive us for not recognizing and discerning and realizing who it is that's doing it to us. We admit we have shortcomings and failures. And for that we ask your pardon. But all of our shortcomings and our failures, Lord, that has nothing to do with our souls that we desire people to stay away from you. I don't know of anybody I wouldn't want to be in heaven. I know of no one that I would want to be there, Lord. Yet we allow ourselves to be judged. We allow even our own flesh to misjudge us. And we will accept that judgment. And instead of refusing to allow the outer man and the spirit man to pass his condemnation into the soul. Make us spiritual, Lord. I desire to have a spiritual church, Father. By that, I don't mean one that worships, and we do, and I thank you for that. I thank you for that about our church. But Lord, we don't want to just be a worshiping church. We want to be a spiritual church that we can judge. Help the people, Lord, in thinking of their behavior and their activity, what they do. I mentioned Facebook. I mentioned it again because, Lord, it's becoming such a thing in the message. It's easy to see that many of the people who post the things, I don't have it, so I don't know. I'm just what I'm told. They have no discernment whatsoever. Posting things that are so foolish. It's like Facebook gets everybody a pulpit. Every man, woman, boy, and girl can preach on Facebook. Help them, Lord, to realize when they post something on Facebook and they're identified that they come to this church, they are falsely pulling me and this church into that identity. They're pulling you. They're pulling this message into that identity of what they're posting. But the natural man wants to argue and fuss and debate. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to be led by the Holy Ghost. Governed by the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, forgive us of our carnality. Forgive us of our foolishness. Make us like you, Lord. Make us like you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that your desire today? You raise your hand. Say, Lord, be mindful of me. Now, many of you ain't got Facebook. You know what you're like me. You don't know what it even is, really. But in your own everyday life, in your temper, in the way you answer people, in what you say back. If the deacons ask you to park in a certain spot, you fly off the handle. Now, you're going to tell me that's the mind of Christ? No. No. The deacons ask you to make your children be quiet and you get mad and stomp out. You're going to tell me that's the mind of Christ? No, it's not. We're here to worship. This is not a circus. We're not here to entertain your children. We're here to worship. They ask you to be quiet in the foyer and all that. Look, friend, this is a house of worship. We want to come here and worship and we want to respect God. So judge all things. So many of us are so fast to speak. But the scripture tells us be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. The mind of Christ will judge all these things. But the carnal, natural man will figure it out and deduce it and add it and subtract it and figure it all out. Then you've done said it and done made a mess and then trying to figure out how to fix it. When the Spirit of God would have led you right around that trap. I don't know about you. I want to be more spiritual. More spiritual. I'm not talking about having dreams and visions. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I thank God for those things. Some dreams and things that I've had from the Lord, to be honest with you, sometimes I wish I hadn't had them. Because sometimes things that you see, you wish you hadn't seen them. Things that you see about people. An insight that God gives you. Sometimes I wish I didn't know it. Because it weighs so much on you. I ain't talking about being that. I'm talking about Brother Jim being able to discern. To discern. And judge all things. Scrutinize. Take a magnifying glass. Not of the Word. Just the Word. But of the Spirit. Because sometimes the Word, don't misunderstand me, the Word won't give you, Brother Matthew, the direction you need. You listen to a tape and you search in the message and it won't give you that direction. You know why? It's a Spirit-led magnifying glass. There won't be a scripture, Brother Jim. There won't be a quotary. But it'll be that Spirit leading you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands and make our hands, as it were, a doorway. Let's just let our hands and our arms be a doorway into our heart. Not that we need to get saved. Not that many of you need to get the Holy Ghost. But that we can just give Him more control. That His mind can judge. That if I have the mind of Christ and I have His feelings, I have His views, I have His perspectives. So then if I will allow it, those views will speak out of me and act out of me and reflect out of me and out of you. And make me more like Thee. Let's sing it together now. Oh, make me more like Thee, Jesus, make me more like Thee. Everybody, with all your heart now, won't you give me a heart that's filled with your love and make me more like Thee? Raise your hands. Close your eyes and sing it. Oh, make me more spiritual like Thee, Jesus. Make me more like Thee. Won't you give me a Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like to discern, Lord. Scrutinize. Not in a harsh way. Not in a judgmental way of other people. But the events around me, the circumstances, the things that involve me, Lord God. Help me, Jesus. Give me a heart with your love and make me more like Before we go, would you turn and put your hand on the person there by you? Now, I want to ask you something, children. What would we give for a spiritual church up on this hill? What would a spiritual church? I'm not talking about what you and I might think is spiritual to other people, but what God would look at us and say, Happy Valley Church is a spiritual church. What would that be worth to us? What would be the value of such a thing? What could we do if we were a more spiritual body? Of the Spirit of God moving among us. And not just supernatural things with healings and miracles and things like that. And we long for that in a greater way.
But to make us like this, to where we judge, and we have the ability to know right from wrong. We have the ability to judge from within us and hear that buzzer go off within our soul. I want you to pray for that person standing by you. No doubt they have made many mistakes. No doubt they have fallen into many snares. Even this very day, I'm going to tell you, you believe what you want to. But the Holy Ghost changed my direction earlier into this sermon and led me in this certain way. There's somebody here today that is dealing with your heart. This is not on my notes. It was even nothing that I even studied out to go. And I felt Him change me. So He knows what He's doing. You may not know that person that you got your hand on. There may be a snare laid in front of them tomorrow. Maybe a woman, maybe a man, maybe a temper, maybe a business transaction they're fixing to make. Pray for them that God will leave them, that God will help them, that even though they look at the ground, the scenario around it, the habitat looks identical, but yet there's a leaf out of place. There's a branch wrong. There's something wrong. Their senses may not pick it up, but the Spirit of God can lead them. Let's just pray for one another before we go. Lord Jesus, I'm not a prophet, so I do not have the ability to peer into the supernatural the way prophets would. But yet I know, Father, that You lead Your children. And I know this service today, Father God, was orchestrated by You. You know, I didn't even get to go the direction that I'd studied and I'd laid out yesterday and today. But that doesn't matter. What's important is I followed You. Lord Jesus, I do not know what lay before these people, nor do I know even what lays before me. But I ask You that You'd help us, Lord. Oh, this enemy, he knows how to prepare the snares. He knows how to make them, Lord. As I've been into different nations in Africa. And as I was taken to the Masai Mara many years ago by a brother in the message who's a game warden there. And he took us about and showed us in a little closer perspective than what most people get to see. How the rhinoceros and the elephant and different animals are poached and how they make snares for them. And Lord, as I've seen some of these snares, and it's absolutely amazing as I would stand and look right at them. Or see somebody that make a snare for a rabbit or something else. And me with an untrained eye, look right at it and never even see it. But the person with a trained eye or the person who laid the snare, they could point out this and that and the other to me. And once they pointed it out, I would see it. Lord Jesus, we need You, Lord, to help us in our life. We know You don't lay the snares, but You know the man who did lay them. Lord, may You help these young people. Help these businessmen. Help these housewives. Help the ministers. Help every one of us, Lord God. From the front to the back to the nurseries, those that are streaming. Help all of us, Lord. Help us, Father, when Satan lays snares before us. May we be led by the mind of Christ. We want to be spiritual, Lord Jesus. When I say that, I don't mean fanaticism. Or I feel led, I feel led, I feel led. But Lord, whenever we say that I feel led, it will prove if we was led of You or not. Because it will be the mind of Christ to judge soberly, discreetly, without impartiality. Help us, Lord. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that is filled with the Holy Ghost in this place, Lord God. I believe we need this more than ever before in our lives to be led by the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Make us more sensitive, Father. Oh, grant it, Lord God, that we may have the mind of Christ to discern, to scrutinize, to judge, to look. Grant it, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I receive it, Lord Jesus. I receive it, Lord Jesus. You believe me, saints? You believe it? You receive it as well? I receive it, Lord. Be it unto me according to Thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Amen. Grant it, I pray, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let's just love Him now, just a real close way before we go. Just forget what you're going to do after church this evening. Forget about where you're going to eat. Let's just take a few minutes now. No preaching. No occupancy of our minds of tomorrow and your worries. But for a few moments, let's just move into that intimate, close realm. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We adore you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Great Adonai. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Tiskenu. Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Sing it, hey. Lord Jesus.
More love. More power.
Yes, Lord God.
More of you in my life. More love. More power.
Yes, Lord God.
More of you in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you,
yes, Lord,
with all of my strength. You are my Lord.
Yes, Lord God.
More,
yes, Lord,
love.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
More power.
Can we just give Him a wave offering now?
More of you. More love, more power, more of you in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my
more power. More of your grace. More of
you.
More of your leadership, Lord Jesus. More of your discernment in our lives, Lord God.
More love. With all of my mind, I will worship you with all of my strength.
All my strength, Lord.
You are my Lord.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God.
I love you, Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Oh God, I need more of your love, Lord. More power. Bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God. Yes, Lord.
You are my Lord. You are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More. More faith, more power, more of you in my life. More faith, more power, more of you in my life. Then I will worship you with all of my heart. With all of my mind, I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you. More love, more power, more of you in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. With all of my strength, you are my Lord. I need more of you. That's the way it's got to be. Less of me and more of you, till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. More of you. I need more of you. I need more of you in me. I need more. That's the way it's got to be. More of you, till there's no room left in me. All those ways.
wasted hours and men. They're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. I need more of you. I need more of you. My soul. I could never